Good morning. Good to see you all today. What a beautiful November we've had, but it's coming to an end. And no snow yet. That's okay. We had it in October. Personally, I don't think we need any more, but I don't think I get to have the say in that. Welcome to Grace Lutheran on this first Sunday in the Advent season. And we're so excited to start celebrating the arrival of Christ on our earth to be our brother, so that he could, of course, suffer and die in our place, but then also rise again in our place and give us the hope of eternal life. And speaking of that hope, we do have two funerals this week at church for members. First is tomorrow at Monday. 11 a.m., Arlene Weiss' funeral will be here, visitation 1 hour before. And then we have another one. We want to be in prayer for the Erna Kubitz family. So that funeral will be here on Thursday at 11 a.m. So we're just grieving along with the Weisses and the Kubitzes, but we are covered with the sure and steadfast hope of a resurrection. So we rejoice in that. Tuesday through Friday, I will be here. If you're if you have a confirmation student, we've gone all virtual with Sunday school and confirmation. So please, if you see my pickup parked out front, you can pick up your kids' confirmation materials sitting right out here in the entryway. So, and then to be announced, a youth group I think is going all virtual. So Daisha put an announcement on the Foundry Facebook page. And check there for more info, the link. And you guys should know about this. We were doing this last spring, the virtual meeting. And then Friday morning, I'll be at a medical appointment, but we'll be in the office Friday afternoon. So some birthdays this week. Happy birthday to you all. Personally, I know the governor canceled my birthday this year on account of COVID. So everybody else is in effect, but any public person like pastors, I think their birthdays were canceled. So anyway, nice try, huh? So, all right, our November mission of the month is the Salvation Army. We want to get behind them and support them, especially this year. They've got their hands full with a lot of things that they're doing, and they do good work. And so this is the time of the year where we pull up alongside of them and help as much as we can. So that's our mission of the month. Next Sunday, December 6th, the second Sunday of Advent, we'll, of course, have Sunday school and confirmation virtual, so stay at home and stay safe, and log on to the Foundry Facebook page, and you can pick those videos up. And then 10 a.m., worship in the sanctuary, parking lot, online with Holy Communion. We'll see where the council has a decision to make about how long we're going to continue on meeting here in person or if we're going to go virtual. But that's the council's call, not mine. So right now we're here today doing fine, and we'll see what the future holds. So stay tuned. And then Tuesday, December 8th, is the Grace Council meets in the Fellowship Hall, socially distanced, of course. And then Thursday, December 10th, Grace Lutheran Women meet. This is still on, isn't it, GLW members? It's the 17th. Okay. All right, so it's the 17th, not the 10th. That's right, they moved to the third Thursday. So, and then just a big thanks to our tech people who make all of this online stuff possible, and then to our Sunday school staff who are doing really well. And we want to continue to be in prayer for those who are struggling with COVID right now, especially our Minister of Music, Amy Nordland, who's about halfway through her journey with COVID. And also caring for her mother, and her dad has it, and so they're just all together working through it. So be in special prayer for that. Those are the announcements today. Anything else before we get started? Yes, Duane.
The fact that we can't sing, I think we can recite "Happy Birthday"
to us. Just like a rap song. All right. Thank you. And again, we are not supposed to be singing during worship, but I invite you to talk your way through the hymns, because we can talk. So what the difference is between those two, I'll let you and your own conscience wrestle with that. So we're going to start today, of course, singing some of these beautiful Christmas songs we wait to sing all year. So let's begin by opening our service in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This morning is a responsive Advent reading. As we light the first Advent candle, look to Jesus, the wonderful counselor. Rejoice in his name and remember his promises. Look to Jesus, the wonderful counselor. In him are all the treasures of salvation.
As we light the first Advent candle.
Look to Jesus, the wonderful counselor.
The Spirit of the Lord rests upon him.
The Spirit of wisdom and power.
Look to Jesus
and live in his strength. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that in your first coming, you came to save sinners. Stir our hearts to vigilance that we may reach out to others in your name. May we not be overtaken by the cares of this world, but remain watchful and ready to welcome you when you come again. Amen. A brief silence for the lighting of the Advent candle. Turn to the hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, hymn number 34 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screens.
Majesty and awe. one branch of Jesse free, your own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell your people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you. Blessed day, spring, come and cheer our spirits by your advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O key of David, come and open wide our safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
Beautiful, beautiful Advent hymn. Emmanuel in the Hebrew means literally God with us. And our Lord did come down to heaven to be with us, to, as that last verse says, to be the key that unlocked our heavenly home. And we rejoice in that, that our hope of heaven, our hope of a resurrection, the forgiveness of all of our sins is not based upon us. It's based upon what God with us did for us. And let's connect with that great truth today as we stand before God and confess our need for an Emmanuel, for a Savior who came and suffered and died and rose again in our place. Our brief order of confession and forgiveness found on page 56 in the green hymnal. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's promise to us sinners from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news to us this morning is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith as it's worded in the ancient creed, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you. Refresher. We just today in confirmation studied the five steps of humiliation of Christ that we see in the Creed. First of all, his first step, he was born of the Virgin Mary. Even though he was God, eternal God, he came down and humbled himself to be born into a human body. The next step was that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. The next step, he was crucified. Next step, died. And the final step, the fifth step of his humiliation, he was buried. Now, you might say, well, what about his descent into hell? Well, we're going to learn that that's his first step of exaltation, because 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that he went down to, he descended into hell to proclaim his victory. So isn't that great to know, especially this week, as we have two funerals, that he descended into hell to proclaim his victory there. He has conquered sin and death for us all. Praise be to God. So, just a little confirmation refresher. Why not? So, all right. Our scriptures and prayers for this first Sunday in Advent, the first one is found in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, no eye has seen, any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways, but when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sin sweeps us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. We rejoice this first Sunday in Advent that God answered this prayer to come down and save us by sending us his Son. And he has refashioned us in his image. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Thanksgiving. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Here, Paul gives us a window into the second coming of Christ, his second advent, and promises us that he has granted us his Spirit and given us faith to be held firm until the end when he reveals himself a second time. Praise be to God. The prayers of the church. We pray for guidance, O Lord God. You have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as not yet trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for help in this pandemic. Keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in this trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the hungry and the homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor, nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good words, good prayers. What a blessing it is to have a God who has thrown open the gates of his kingdom to us through his Son, that we can come boldly with nothing between us and God and give our prayers to him, knowing and trusting that he hears and that he loves us and treats us as a heavenly Father. Well, as we prepare to hear more of God's good word, we want to take up a hymn that will prepare us to do that. Hymn number 343 in your green hymnal, or as it appears on the screen, Guide Me Ever, Great Redeemer, also familiar as Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Hymn number 343.
Great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Feed me now and evermore. Open now the crystal fountain where the healing waters flow. Let the fire and cloud cloudy pillar, lead me on my journey through.
Strong
deliverer, strong deliverer, shield me with your mighty arm. Shield me with your mighty arm. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs and praises, songs and praises, I will raise forevermore. I will raise forevermore.
Well, it's that time, kids, where I wish I could invite you up front, but just take a look at the screens. Or draw a little closer to the screen at home, and we've got a message coming up just for you. Well, good to see you, kids. We're almost in the month of December. And we know that December is all about Christmas. It was a favorite time, of course, for any kid to anticipate what's happening, the Christmas gifts that are being purchased and maybe stacked up under the tree. In my family, we always had church Christmas Eve, and we actually had the kids program on Christmas Eve. So we would go and do the Christmas program and sing our hearts out, and then we got our brown paper bag with some hard candy and some peanuts and an apple, and we would trot home and look forward to opening Christmas presents. And so Christmas is a special time of the year. It's a time when we celebrate that Jesus came to our earth. But today we want to remember that in the same way that Jesus came to our earth that first time, he's promised to return. And so today I want to take a look at a pair of binoculars. And I can see very clearly far away. I can see all the way into the kitchen, and I can look out the rear windows on the east side of the church and look at the trees and what's going out there. I can see quite a ways very clearly. And so the first advent, the first coming of Christ, is like a pair of binoculars. It enables us to see that Jesus is coming again. Why is that important? Well, we have to remember that in the same way that some people weren't ready for Jesus when he came the first time, so some aren't going to be ready when he comes the second time. And we want to remember that because he came the first time, his coming the second time is guaranteed. He is coming back. And we don't have to be afraid of that, okay? Because Jesus has come the first time, and suffered and died for our sins and cleansed us of those sins, we can look with eagerness, just the way that we look to Christmas Eve, either opening presents on Christmas Eve or on Christmas morning, whatever your family does. And we can look forward to getting together with family and celebrating. That's the way we should feel as we look to Jesus' second coming. It's going to be great to see Jesus. So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that because of your first advent in which you came to be our Savior, we don't have to fear your second coming because you have made us your friends forever. So teach us to look beyond the hubbub of this world to the time when you've promised to come again, and may we eagerly anticipate it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, the theme of today's sermon is to keep watching, and we're going to hear about that. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, of the 2020 Advent season, so we know it's going to be different. There's going to have a little weird twist to it, okay? But it's still Advent, okay? COVID couldn't cancel Advent. We're still in the Advent season. So what does Advent mean? Well, let's pray, and then we'll begin to unpack that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us to watch in anticipation for our Lord to come again. Amen. Well, the Advent season is actually the beginning of the church year. So the church year doesn't wait for January 1st to begin. It starts the end of November, usually, with the first Sunday in Advent, and as we look forward then to the coming of Christ. It's our beginning in this church year. Advent is from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming. And the Latin adventus is the translation of the New Testament Greek word parousia, which is used in reference to Christ's second coming, his parousia, when he comes again. Thus, Advent serves as a reminder for us of the deep connection between Christ's first coming and his second coming. His first coming guarantees his second coming, and we rejoice in that. So it's fitting for us on this first Sunday of Advent to hear our Lord during his first Advent to teach us about his second Advent, his second coming. So we take a look at Mark chapter 13, verses 31 through 37, the gospel text for this first Sunday in Advent. Jesus teaches about his second coming. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be on alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Well, it's not a large text, and the word watch is used three times. I think there's a theme here. Watch, along with our Lord's admonition to be on guard and be on the alert, but be watchful. So the first thing we would say about Advent, it's a time of watching. I must remember that in the same way many were not prepared for Jesus when he first came, so many will also be unprepared for his second advent, his second coming. I'm reminded by Jesus to be ready and to keep watching for his return, to be anticipating that time when he comes. So the question naturally comes to us, how can I be prepared and stay watchful for our Lord when he comes a second time? So being prepared and being watchful, it really depends on my relationship with this returning Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 10? I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So there our Lord defines his relationship to us. He knows us, we know him, and he gave his life for us. That's how we're prepared to be looking, is to remember just who this Lord is. Our good shepherd is coming back. You see, my relationship with him is based on what he has done. That's called gospel. That's called good news. He's the one who has prepared me for his kingdom. That brings me a lot of comfort. I can't prepare myself. Jesus has made all of those preparations for me. The Catechism defines the gospel as the good news of what God has done for me in Christ Jesus. This is why I celebrate Christmas. Jesus came at his first advent to prepare me for his second advent. Everything from our consumer-driven culture works relentlessly to blind us to this beautiful fact of Christmas. We're confronted all the time with material things that are supposed to teach us about the value of Christmas, but that's not what Christmas is about. It's about God preparing us, God giving us the ultimate Christmas gift, which is his own son to become our brother. Yes, it's good to give gifts and to celebrate, but as you give, remember, you are giving because Christ has given to you, because God has given to you. So the thought of Christ's second coming, which is basically synonymous with what we know as Judgment Day, easily strikes fear into our hearts when we think about it from that perspective. Why? Because we're sinners. Yet we must remember the relationship we have with God is based upon what he has done for us. He has laid down his life to prepare us for his second coming. He has removed those sins from me so that I can look forward to his second coming. So I think an illustration of Jesus' return that we ought to keep just fresh in our minds is something we just did. We just celebrated Thanksgiving, a day of joyful homecoming where we gather around the table with family and we celebrate what God has given to us, especially celebrating one another, the gift of family. And that's a good way to think about the Advent season and then about Christ's second coming. It's going to be a great big Thanksgiving dinner, a time where we gather and rejoice. Remember what Jesus said, "I know my own, and my own know me." I'm called to live in his preparation for me, which he accomplished during his first advent. And by his word and his sacraments, he keeps that relationship strong with me. He continues to speak his good news to me in his word. And he even says, "Here, put this in your mouth, eat it, and drink it. You are forgiven. You are my friend." Because of what he has done, I look for him as my friend, as my Savior. And that's a beautiful thing. So here's some answers to some Advent questions that we might ask. What or who am I watching for during this season of watching? Well, I'm watching for my Redeemer, my friend. When am I watching? Well, we're told by Jesus we ought to be watchful. We always should be looking, for he could come at any time. Be on the alert. Be ready. Watch. Why should I watch? Well, his second coming will be the culmination of God's good plan for this fallen creation we live in. Remember, God created the world good. Sin came in and changed that. God didn't crumple us up like that first draft page of a term paper and throw us away and start over. No, God has a plan A, and that is to restore us back to what he created, all things good, and to have a perfect relationship with him. That's why we should watch. It will be the culmination when God brings everything back to the way it should be. Good. Where do I watch? Well, I watch in Christ, living in his forgiveness, living in his righteousness for me. How should I watch? In complete dependence upon him, relying on his word and sacraments to stay spiritually awake. So there's some beautiful Advent opportunities that come to us this season. The first opportunity is to remember. Remember Jesus looking for me. Remember what he said in Luke chapter 19, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And he did find us. And he did save us. So remember that. Remember Jesus looking for you. Also realize what brings joy to Jesus during this season of joy. Remember what he said in Luke 15? "I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." God loves sinners. He loves them so much he sent Jesus. Remember the joy that God has over you, a sinner, being made righteous in his eyes. And then finally, the third R, I'm trying to be very homiletically correct here, three R's, remember, realize, and rest. Rest in his promises for sinners. I love this passage, one of my favorite. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We know what a wage is. It's what we deserve. It's what we earn. The wages of our sin is death. But the free gift of God, and this is a season where we remember free gifts. We don't pay for those gifts under the Christmas tree. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Rest in that. Rest in the gospel, my friends, the good news of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. And then watch in anticipation, not in fear. My watching for Jesus' return is driven by the anticipation of what he has promised, a kingdom of peace, a restoration to the way things should be. We go to the end of the Bible. And we see the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. We get a picture of what it's going to be like when our Lord returns and establishes his kingdom on earth. From Revelation 21, verse 4, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain." Can we even begin to imagine what that will be like? Lastly, remember this. Jesus is watching for you and for me at his return. I love these verses, so comforting, from John 14. The night before he went to the cross, he gave these words to his disciples and to us. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is his desire for you. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God for his marvelous grace. One of the great Christmas gifts that we realize we've been given every year is the gift of prayer. God has removed, as I shared in the confirmation video this morning, and it's a term that young people often use, awkward. How awkward is it to be a sinner in the presence of God? It's mighty awkward. But God has removed that awkwardness. He has thrown his arms of grace and forgiveness around us and said, "Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. You are home indeed. Come into my throne room. Tell me what's on your mind." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we first of all lift up those who are struggling during this difficult time. Whether they are struggling and sick with the virus, whether they are struggling financially because of the virus, whether they are struggling with loneliness because of this time of isolation and social distancing. So much trouble, Lord. So many who are in trouble. But Lord, we look to you as our ever-present help and friend. So meet each out there with your goodness and a sense of your presence with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift up those who serve us on the medical front, who are putting themselves in harm's way every day by working on the COVID units or just by putting themselves out in the public, giving us the medical care we need. Lord, watch over them, protect them from this virus, especially as they go home. Keep their families safe, too. We pray for those also who put themselves out there in the public to serve us by allowing us the opportunity to buy groceries and gasoline and products for our homes and to get our medicines. Lord, watch over those retail workers, too, Lord, who serve us. Keep them safe and keep their families safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, we just prayed the Lord's Prayer at the end of the sermon because it was so fitting to end the sermon that way, where we rejoice in the kingdom that's been given to us. Live in that kingdom this week and in every week. You are a child of God, a member of his household, and a member of his kingdom. And may God grant you peace in this troubled time to live as his child. Would you please rise and receive the Lord's blessing today? May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God. Thanks be to God. Thank you.